The scripture reading this afternoon is from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, and then we pick it up at verse 15. The Word of God this afternoon focuses on the calling of the wife in relation to her husband. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And then verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So far the reading of God's holy, infallible word. May God place his blessing upon the reading of that word. The text this afternoon is verses 22 and 24 and the last part of verse 33. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And then at the end of verse 33, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, so far in our series on marriage, we've had four sermons. We've had two sermons on the design of marriage, how God instituted and designed marriage, and we've had two sermons on the husband's calling toward his wife. This afternoon, we have the first of two sermons on the calling of the wife. Before we enter into the subject of the wife's calling, it is important for us to remember some of the things that have already been said. First of all, we must remember what marriage is. Marriage is a divine institution. Marriage is created and ordained by God. Marriage belongs to God, and therefore we are called to live in marriage as God desires. Furthermore, God created husband and wife as male and female, so that husband and wife would be perfectly fitted for each other in the marriage bond. In fact, what the Bible says is this: the woman was made for the man. He wasn't made for her, but she was made for him. God created the wife for the husband to complete him, to fill up his lack, and to be his suitable helper. Furthermore, God created the marriage bond between husband and wife to be a reflection of Christ and the church. Christ is the bridegroom of the church. He is her head and she is his body. They dwell together in intimate love and friendship as a one flesh relationship. The leadership and the authority belong to Christ, but the action is coordinated. They are one body. The church as the body, the Christ as the head, one flesh. And the church follows Christ's lead and his will. And as we have seen in the last few weeks, what that means for the husband is this: the husband is called to reflect Christ. The husband is the head of his wife. He leads her. He is responsible for her. He loves her as Christ loves the church. He seeks to meet her every need as Christ does for the church. He protects her and provides for her. He serves her. He cares for her soul as Christ cares for the church. And he enjoys her and he dwells with her as Christ enjoys and dwells with his church. He loves his wife tenderly, compassionately, self-sacrificially. He lives for his wife. All these things being said, we now move on to look at God's will for the wife in the marriage bond, as that is clearly revealed to us in the Scriptures. We take as our theme this afternoon the wife's calling to loving submission. We look at that theme under 3 points. First, the high calling. Second, the specific manner. And third, the holy purpose. The wife's calling to loving submission. I think that when we come across that word submit in the context of marriage, and we hear that the calling of the wife is to submit to her husband, we might be inclined to get a little uneasy or a little apprehensive. And I think that this is the case because this idea of submission is so offensive to the ungodly culture around us. And also, because there is the inclination on the part of sinners to twist and abuse this word of God and the idea of submission to try to make it say something that it does not say. The reality is we live in a society that hates the idea of submission. We live in a society that hates the idea of subjecting oneself to another who has been placed in authority over them. We live in a society that hates the reality that there is a God that they must submit themselves to. And so they try to get rid of any notion of God, and they grow more and more rebellious, becoming more and more confused in their dark, vain imaginations. And certainly we live in a society which ridicules and mocks and condemns the biblical idea that the wife is to submit to her own husband. In congregation, the reality is this: this resentment towards the idea of submission dwells in our own hearts as well. We are all rebellious by nature. This is true of us as husbands. This is true of us as wives. This is true of us as single members. This is true of us as children. And we need to remember that inclination, we need to recognize that inclination in our own hearts, even as we hear the word this afternoon. But the reality is also this: we live in a society where those in authority seem to be ever more inclined to abuse their authority, to make more of their authority than is right, and even to look down on those and to despise those who are called to a position of submission. And that too is very offensive. What we ought to be mindful of is the fact that this calling to submit is ultimately the calling given to all who are Christians. Submitting to one another in the fear of God stands at the heart of every Christian's duty. That's Ephesians 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Submitting to one another is part of the Christian's response to the gospel. Whether it be servants to their masters, or citizens to the civil authorities, or children to parents, or church members to office bearers, or wives to husbands. Submitting to those in authority over us, submitting to one another, is a basic element of Christian discipleship. Submitting to one another is part of being Christ-like. This is exactly what Ephesians 5 says. Verse 24 says, why Ephesians 5 verse 24 says what it does, as the church is subject unto Christ. This is what characterizes the church. She submits to Christ. And as I said, submitting to one another is part of being Christ-like. Christ himself in Luke 2 verse 51 subjected himself to Joseph and Mary. Throughout his entire life, Jesus submitted himself to the law of God. He learned obedience through his sufferings. His entire life was a life of submission to the will of God. I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And the calling we all have as members of Christ is to submit. To submit to Christ. And this afternoon, all we're going to do is see how that word applies directly to the wives of the congregation as wives to their own husbands. The problem we often have, besides our own sinful and rebellious hearts, is this. We often have a distorted understanding of what submission is. So let's get right away to the heart of the matter and ask the question, what is this calling to submit? First of all, let us state what this calling of the wife to submit to her husband does not mean. I think that is important to get straight, first of all. First of all, I think it is pretty plain from the example of Christ's submission to Joseph and Mary, Jesus' submission to Joseph and Mary, and to the law, that submission is not grounded in any presupposed superiority of the husband or inferiority of the wife. I've spoken to this point before. We don't need to go over it again. A wife's calling to submit to her husband does not imply in any way that she is somehow inferior to her husband. No, it has to do with how God ordained husband and wife to live in the marriage bond. Second of all, submission does not mean that a wife is obligated to follow her husband should her husband lead her into sin. And that truth rests upon the correct distinction we make between obedience and submission. Obedience and submission are two distinct words with their own distinct meaning. Obedience means that you do what you are told to do. Obedience refers to one's outward behavior. Submission is different. Submission refers to the inner attitude that you have in your heart. Submission refers to the attitude of honor and reverence you hold in your heart, willingly yielding to the authority that God has placed over you. Submission is a matter of the heart. And we are called by God to submit to all in authority over us. More will be said about this, but suffice it to say, if there must be a choice made between obeying God and obeying man, we ought to obey God rather than man. We submit to those in authority over us, but that doesn't mean we always obey what they tell us to do. Third of all, submission does not mean that a wife becomes a slave to her husband, that she adopts a passive approach to life, that she suppresses her creative spirit, that she abandons her God-given personality, and that she loses who she is. Of course not. Look at the woman in Proverbs 31. She is creative. She is industrious. She is diligent. She is active. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Her own works will praise her. She is the virtuous woman, whose price is far above rubies. Submission does not mean that in a marriage a wife must always be the introvert and that the husband must always be the extrovert. Of course not. There are all kinds of personalities in marriage. What 1 Peter 3 does say is this: the godly wife maintains a chaste behavior, and in the hidden man of her heart she has a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Lord willing, we will look at that a bit more next week. But just look at the church as the bride of Christ. She is called to be active as she possibly can be, all the while submitting herself to Christ. That's the virtuous church. Fourth of all, and finally, submission does not mean that a wife is silent or that a wife does not have her own thoughts. Submission does not mean that a wife never lets her husband know what she is thinking. Obviously, if she's going to be her husband's suitable helper, she ought to let him know her thoughts. She ought to speak up, and she ought to make it clear to her husband when she thinks the husband is on the verge of making an unwise decision. Submission does not mean that the wife cannot make requests of her husband. Submission does not mean that the wife cannot lovingly speak to her husband a word of criticism or even try to persuade her husband in a submissive and honoring way. This is part of who she is as the suitable helper. This is part of what it is to share ourselves with each other as husband and wife. This is part of the one flesh relationship. This is why the husband has to dwell with his wife so that he knows her and her thoughts, and he knows how to lead her. This becomes all the more evident when we consider a wife who is called to submit to an unbelieving husband. Can that wife not have any of her own thoughts? Truly, at the very bottom of her heart, she disagrees with her husband on the most important principle of all, God. Well, we know that that is not the ideal, and that's not how God designed marriage to function. Truly, such a wife cannot embrace the unbelieving thoughts of her husband. And yet, she is still obligated to submit to him. Her calling to submit to him does not vanish simply because of the kind of husband he is, or simply because she has different thoughts than he does, and that she cannot have his thoughts. Strikingly, 1 Peter 3, verse 1. In 1 Peter 3, verse 1, Peter envisions that the most effective way in which the believing wife tries to win over her unbelieving husband is exactly by her submission to him. Well, having said these things about what submission is not, let us come to an understanding of what submission is. And we can summarize biblical submission into 2 points. First, biblical submission means this: that the wife has the heart attitude, the inward disposition of honoring her husband as the authority which God has placed over her. That gets to the heart of submission. That's what Ephesians 5, verse 33 means when it says, "Let the wife see that she reverence her husband." She respects her husband, and even more than that, she honors him. She fears him, literally. She holds him in her mind as the one whom God has placed in authority over her. She gives to her husband the place that God has placed him in. That's what it means to fear God. We acknowledge him. We give him his place as God. Submission is the heart attitude that says, "He is my head. He leads. He takes the initiative." Submission is the heart attitude that says, "I willingly and joyfully yield to your authority and leadership. Hold my hand as I walk next to you and follow your lead. Submission is the heart attitude that says, and listen to this, I actively and freely place my entire person and my entire life under the authority of my husband. Oh yes, the wife has her own thoughts. The wife has her own gifts and abilities. She doesn't lose who she is as a person. But ultimately, when the wife sees her marriage union as a one flesh relationship, and she sees that her husband is the head and she is the body, then she strives to live faithfully as the body, doing His will, following His word, living her entire life in conformity with her husband's will. And if we think that that's putting it too strongly, perhaps, then we remember Ephesians 5, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. How is the church subject to Christ? In this way, she recognizes Christ's authority over her, and the church strives to conform herself to Christ, to Christ's perfect will, to His word. She follows His directives in everything. The church strives in her very thinking, in her very desires, in her hopes and her dreams to conform herself to Christ. She obeys Christ. You might say this, in who she is as a person, in the very depths of her being, the church wants to be what Christ wants her to be. That's how a wife is to submit to her husband. She wants to be what he wants her to be. And if we think that that is still perhaps putting it too strongly, that the wife is called to live her entire life in conformity to her husband's will, then let not only the wives be impressed with their calling, but let the husbands once again be impressed with their calling to be an accurate reflection of Jesus Christ, to conform their own will and their own thoughts and desires to Jesus Christ. Husbands are called to want in their wives what Christ wants in their wives. Just as the wife is called to submit all that she is to her head, her husband, so the husband is called to submit all that he is to his head, Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what Jesus himself had to do. He had to conform his will and his desires and his thoughts, all that he was, to his own head, God. Not my will, O Lord, but thy will be done. Let thy will be my will. That's submission. This is what 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3 says. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. In this way, the relationship between husband and wife is different than the relationship between employees and employers, and between citizens and civil authorities. Marriage is unique because it is a one flesh relationship like Christ and the church, in which the whole of the wife is placed under the husband's authority. Again, just like the whole of the husband is placed under Christ's authority, just like the whole of Christ is placed under God's authority. And thanks be to God for that. Thanks be to God for that. Jesus doesn't just take to himself a part of who I am, and doesn't take authority just over a part of who I am, but he takes all that I am to himself. Not anything of who I am is left to myself, but I, as a part of the bride of Jesus Christ, body and soul belong to him. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Ultimately, then, submission will show itself in obedience. The wife follows her husband's directives. Oh yes, there is a distinction between submission and obedience, but submission shows itself in obedience to all things that are not contrary to the law of God. Submission is the heart attitude that says, I honor you as the head, but I cannot go along with you when you choose to lead into sin. That's true. That's submission. But submission does not fail to make the clear distinction between God's commands and the wife's own preferences and her own opinions or even her own expertise. Her submission to her husband is not qualified by her thoughts or her better judgment or even her expertise. Rather, her submission to her husband is qualified only by God's commands. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So submission means first that the wife has the heart attitude, the inward disposition of honoring her husband as the authority which God has placed over her. She submits to her husband as to the Lord, recognizing that the Lord has placed her husband in that position over her. She follows her husband's directives. She obeys him. She lives in conformity to his will as unto the Lord. Such is her submission that she grieves. She grieves when her husband is passive and he isn't leading her and guiding her as he should. And she has no direction for what she should be striving to be or do in the marriage bond. Second, biblical submission means this, that the wife is so committed to her husband that she does all in her power and she does all in her ability so that he may reach his full potential as a man of God. She does all in her power and ability so that he may reach his full potential as a man of God. You see, while he is dying for her, she is living for him. She lives for him. The wife sees herself and she identifies herself as one who is given to her husband. Ultimately, she doesn't identify herself by her husband, but she identifies herself as one who has been given to her husband. She was made for him, and she was given to him to complete him, to fill him up, so that he might be the man of God that he is called to be. She was given to him to make him truly happy in the Lord, to enable him to fulfill his calling before God. She is the body, he is the head. Think of your own body and think of your own head and how your body serves for the glory of the head, even as the head serves for the beautifying and the care and protection and provision of the body. Submission then for the wife means this, that she is so devoted to her husband that she wants him to prosper in the gifts he's been given. She delights that his name be held in respect. She encourages him. She wants him to be honored, and she will see that her calling is to use her time and her talents for his promotion and for the good of the marriage as a whole. And that means that she conducts herself in such a way that through her, honor is brought to him. And if we think that this is surprising, if we think that this is perhaps putting it too strong, then we must remember, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And how does the church subject herself to Christ? She lives for his glory. The church doesn't say, what do we want as a church? You as a child of God don't say, what do I want? Randolph Protestant Reformed Church doesn't say, what are our desires? How do we want to worship? How do we want to praise God? No, the Church of Jesus Christ says, how shall Christ's name be honored? How does Christ want us to worship? What are his desires? That's true in your own life personally as a child of God. And then what does the church do? What do we do? She looks carefully into the will of the Lord in the Scriptures, and she seeks out what the Lord wants done and what the Lord wants her to be and to do. Why? So that she can devote herself to his purposes, to his task, to his glory. That's how we each personally live towards God, whether we are married or single. And in that way, a wife in submission to her husband will affirm her husband's leadership, and she will help him carry it through. She won't be a gossip at church. She won't cut him down to pieces in front of her friends. She won't tell everyone his shortcomings. She isn't constantly nagging and complaining, wishing that they had more money, and constantly saying she wished he had a different job. She isn't like that contentious and angry woman of Proverbs 21, verse 19. There we read, "It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman." Rather, she lives for him and for his promotion. And that may take many different forms. It might look like many different things. Maybe she makes the home a welcoming place, free from the sinful desires or sinful influences of the world. She doesn't bring into the home the garbage of the world. Maybe she gives herself as an example to the children of how to honor their father. Maybe she wakes up early and makes his lunch in the morning. Maybe she makes his coffee. Maybe she does his laundry. It may be whatever. Not as a slave, not in fear, but as a suitable helper, so that he might be the man of God that he is called to be, so that he might fulfill his responsibilities before the Lord. They are one flesh, and she understands her God-given role in that one flesh relationship. As 1 Corinthians 11 verse 9 says, "Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." That's the wife's calling before the Lord with respect to her husband. Remembering all the while what we spent the last 2 weeks looking at, the husband's calling towards his wife. Well, how is she supposed to do this? What is the specific manner in which she is called to do this? Well, we've mentioned a few things so far through the course of the sermon, so let me be brief here. The wife submits to her husband willingly and gladly. She submits to her husband not reluctantly, not begrudgingly, not with a constant complaint, but gladly and cheerfully. Do you wives remember your wedding day, and how eagerly and gladly you made your marriage vows? And you said very willingly on your wedding day, "I will submit to him, I will serve him and assist him." That's the kind of willingness that the Lord delights in day by day, every day in the marriage bond. The wife submits to her husband voluntarily, willingly, freely. Just as the church freely and willingly submits to Christ. Just as Jesus Christ willingly submitted to God. That doesn't mean that this is an option, but it means it's done willingly and freely. The wife submits to her husband also completely. That is, in everything. And what is implied is also this. Always. Not just when he is treating you right, but always, even when he makes the bad decision, you are called to submit. And what is implied is also this, then, exclusively. And I touched on that a bit in everything, but let me add this. Wives, even if it means hard things for you, which it will, you are called to submit. Because the church is called to do hard things for Jesus Christ. She is. The Lord requires of his bride hard things. Well, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. But high things he calls her unto. Obedience to Christ often means loss and hardship. And sometimes even death for the members of the church. The members of the church lose their lives for Christ. And again we read, "Therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." And we must remember, this is not some great evil that's placed on the church that she must submit to Christ. Neither should wives view it as a great evil that they must submit to their husbands. This is their calling before God. And the reality is, just as the church is blessed in the way of complete submission to Christ and in the way of living in Him and with Him and out of Him and for Him, so too the Christian wife, when she submits to her husband, doing it for the Lord's sake, she will also experience inward blessedness and inward joy and satisfaction. God will give her that as she remembers that the Lord does not lead us through any unnecessary trials. Well, the wife is to submit to her husband willingly and gladly and in everything. But what could really sum it up? What sums it up is this. She is to love her husband. Love. Love is the fundamental virtue in marriage. And that's not just true for husbands, that's also true for wives. The first and the great commandment for the wife is not this, submit. The first and the great commandment for the wife is this, love. Love your husband. We know what love is. Love, wives, love suffers long. Love is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. This is the husband's chief calling to his wife, and this is the wife's chief calling towards her husband. Love shows itself in the form of submission and obedience, as we have already described. That's the proper form that love takes for the wife. Her love is what governs her submission. She wants to honor her husband. She wants to conform herself to him because she loves him as his body. What characterizes the church's relationship to Christ? Love. And what form does that love take? Submission. That's how the church expresses her love for her husband. She submits and she obeys. The reality is, the church that is not submitting to God's word, the believer that is not submitting to God's word, is the church, is the believer that isn't loving God, but that's loving himself. The church loving herself. Christ says to you and to me and to his church, if you love me, keep my commandments. And it is interesting, too, that just as the husbands are commanded in Scripture to love their wives, so we read in the Bible that the wives are to be taught by the older women in the church to love their husbands. This kind of love has to be learned. It is an action. It is a decision. And husbands, as we know, why do you love Christ? Why does the church love Christ? Why does she submit to Christ? Because Christ has first loved the church. We love him because he first loved us. And through his headship, the church gladly, from the heart, submits to him. Such is the power of the bridegroom's love for his wife that he sweetly and powerfully bends the will of his bride so that she gladly submits to him. That's how Christ moves his church to love him. Fear is not what moves the church. Love. And first of all, Christ's love that we have experienced. It's the love of Christ that constrains us to live for him. May that kind of sweet and powerful love be reflected in our marriages. I think that all of this leads us into considering the holy motive. What is the holy motive for the wife to submit to her husband? Ultimately, the wife's motive for submitting to her husband is not just that she loves her husband. No. Her ultimate motive for submitting to her husband is that she loves Jesus Christ. And out of her love for Jesus Christ, she loves her husband and she submits to her husband. That's what Ephesians 5 verse 22 says right away. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. What does that mean? It means this: as part of your love for Christ, as part of submitting to Christ Jesus, submit to the husband whom Christ has placed over you. As part of honoring Christ's authority, as part of honoring His institution of marriage, honor the husband which He has placed over you. Do it for the promotion of Christ's name. Do it that Christ might be glorified as the husband of the church. I think that's a very fundamental idea. Why do we submit to our husbands? Why do we love our wives? Simply so that we might have happy marriages? No. For our own earthly pleasure? No. Simply so that our spouse might be satisfied? No. We do it for the glory and the honor of our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. That's what submission to Christ means. We do it gladly. We do it from the heart. We do it because we love Christ. And if we are refusing to submit to our husbands, or we are characterized by constant bitterness and complaining, we have to reevaluate ourselves, and we have to examine just how devoted we are to Jesus Christ, and if we truly are worthy to be called a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's how serious this is. And I could have said that for the husband 2 weeks ago, the same. In congregation, we must always remember, how Jesus Christ Himself submitted to His head for our sakes. Not just His earthly parents when He was a child, but to the will of His heavenly Father all His life long. He put Himself under the law. He obeyed even unto death the hard, the agonizing, the self-denying, and the shameful, and the bitter death of the cross. He learned submission. He experienced what submission was and what obedience was for Himself as He laid down His life for you. And so whether we are married or single, whether we are husbands or wives, whether we are young or old, this is what motivates us in all the callings that God gives us. I live this life submitting to those in authority over me for the glory and the honor and the praise of Jesus Christ, my glorious bridegroom who submitted Himself for me. This is the calling of the Christian. This is what it means to be part of Christ's bride. Let me say some words then for a moment to the young men and to the young women in the church. Young men, when you go about to seek a wife for yourself, the question you need to ask is this: does she fear the Lord? Does she fear the Lord so as to submit to Him in all things? What does Proverbs 31 verse 30 say? This is what Proverbs 31 verse 30 says. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Young men, that woman will be the suitable helper that brings honor to your name. And you want that's good, not just for your own name's sake, but you want that's good because, more importantly, that woman will be the suitable helper who helps you to bring honor to Jesus' name. That's the woman you want as your wife. Her price is far above rubies. Young women, when you, in your own womanly way, are looking for a husband, this is the reality you must put before yourself. If I become his wife, my calling is this: that I submit all that I am to him and follow the path that he takes in life. And my calling is this: that I give all that I am and all that I have to fill him up and to be his suitable helper and to give him joy. Young women, find a godly man, a man after God's own heart, whom you, as a daughter of God, would find it a joy and would find it easy to submit to. Find a man who is striving to look like Jesus Christ, filled with holiness, filled with love, and filled most of all with love and devotion to Jesus Christ. And now, to come back then to the wives and the husbands, I could propose this. As you two together, as husband and wife, seek to build each other up in your callings, as you seek to reflect faithfully the relationship between Christ and the church, I could propose this. Wives, perhaps you can go home tonight, and when you have some alone time with your husband, perhaps you could ask your husband these two questions. Husband, my beloved, do you believe that I have embraced from the heart your place as my head? Husband, do you believe that I have embraced from the heart your place as my head? And then this second question. Husband, my beloved, do you believe that I show a pattern of obedience that makes your leadership a pleasure? Do you believe that I show a pattern of obedience that makes your leadership a pleasure? And then, husbands, perhaps you could then, in turn, ask your wife this question. Wife, my beloved, what is there that I am doing that makes it difficult for you to embrace my headship? What is there that I am doing that makes it difficult for you to embrace my headship? And you see, it is that kind of love for Jesus Christ, ultimately, that desire to be pleasing to the Lord, that Paul is talking about in Ephesians 5, verse 21, where he says, right at the beginning of this entire discussion on the husband and wife, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, thy word is marvelous to reflect on who we are as Christ's beloved bride, to think of that bond of love, and to think also that we have marriages in the Lord and we have been given our other half for some of us to be a help to us in our callings in life. And then all of us, Father, to see how Jesus Christ is our help and our sure strength and confidence in every aspect of our calling in life. We give thee the praise and the thanks for it. Bless this preaching to our hearts and to our lives. bless us as a congregation through it, to be more committed to Thee and to submitting ourselves to the will of our beloved Bridegroom, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.